Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Slash Film Daily for Monday, March 27th, 2023. On today's episode, we're going to discuss the latest film and TV news. This is Slash Film editorial director Peter Ceretta, and joining me on today's podcast is Slash Film staff writer and box office analyst Ryan Scott.
Hey, everyone. How's it going?
It's Monday, Ryan, and you are on the podcast, which means we're going to be talking about box office, and this week... What was the big contender? John Wick Chapter 4?
John Wick Chapter 4 was indeed the big contender. And it goes without saying, or maybe it doesn't go without saying, that the movie topped the box office. But what is really impressive here is that this continues the trend of... People might not realize this, but the John Wick movies, like, they feel like a huge franchise now, but the original was very nearly like a VOD movie with like a theatrical component. And then, like, pure critical word of mouth essentially pushed it to become, if we're being honest, a relatively modest hit. The first one only made $86 million worldwide. Well, John Wick Chapter 4 debuted to $73.5 million domestic. And then it also made $64 million internationally for $137.5 million worldwide haul. That is the best opening weekend for the John Wick series. And what's crazy is, like, John Wick Chapter 2 made about twice as much as John Wick did. And then John Wick Chapter 3 made about twice as much as John Wick 2 did. Now, I
this
don't
never
know.
Never happens.
It doesn't happen. Now, a lot of times the sequel can make more than its predecessor, but never that kind of money. Now, I'm not saying John Wick Chapter 4 is going to make double what Chapter 3 made, but I mean, it's just crazy. It's you know, this and what's crazy is this one was almost 3 hours long, R-rated, not insignificant competition at the box office. And I mean, yeah, it just did gangbusters business. So this is incredible for Lionsgate. And I mean, to be frank, this one needed every penny because the difference, the other movies had about $40 million budgets. This one had a $100 million budget. So it needed a blockbuster opening, but it got it. I mean, you know, just tremendous, really tremendous opening. And I mean, just, you know, nothing but good news all around there. On the bad news end of things, Shazam Fury of the Gods had a very bad opening weekend last weekend, which we talked about, but it fell off a cliff this weekend. 67.8% it dropped, only made $9.7 million in its second weekend, dropped to number three, with Creed 3 actually moving back up into the number two spot. So, yeah, things are looking real bad for Shazam. It has made $102 million worldwide so far, but... you know, off $125 million budget, it's probably going to struggle to get to $200 million. It could be looking at one of the biggest bombs of the year. Just absolutely disastrous.
Yeah, the thing that kind of blew my mind is you said on Twitter that Scream 6 is going to make more money in the end than Shazam 2.
Yeah, most likely. So Scream 6 right now, it had another pretty good weekend. It is at $139.2 million worldwide. It just passed the gross of Scream 2022. If it stays the course, it is on track to become the highest grossing Scream movie ever. Yeah, I mean, so, you know, it if it gets closer to 200 million than Shazam, yeah, I mean, we're looking at Scream 6 making, you know, more. It's just crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
We should know for people that don't know is Shazam 2 has 4 times the budget of Scream 6.
Something like that. Yeah, cuz I think Scream 6, I think the budget was pegged at 35 million. So like 3 and change. But yeah, I mean, just absolutely like just, you know, crazy. I mean, but again, that goes where I talk about this all the time. It's all relative, right? It's all about, you know, investment versus return, and superhero movies are expensive to make. And we're seeing, you know, that a middling superhero movie is no longer enough to get the job done. People are very happy to go to the movies right now. It's just got to be for the right thing. And Shazam clearly didn't make a case for audiences, and I, you know, rough, very rough. Also of note, Shazam Fury of the Gods was actually playing in more theaters than John Wick Chapter 4 was this weekend. Per Box Office Mojo, I just noticed this right now. Shazam Fury of the Gods was in 4,071 theaters. John Wick Chapter 4 was in 3,855. So yeah, kind of brutal there, but yeah, rough stuff.
Did you see Zachary Levi's insane like TikTok and Instagram video messages that he posted over the last
week? He's had a few, yeah, and I think we talked a little bit about one of those on Friday. Seems like he's almost on the verge of tears in each one of them. Like it's look, I feel bad for the guy, but at the same time, it's like, man, I don't know that you're helping. Like, I don't know that this is like. I don't know. Like David F. Sandberg said his piece opening weekend, and I think he had a kind of classy take on it. And you know, I wish him well, and I'm very excited to see him go back to horror. Yeah. I feel like Zachary Levi's he sounds, and don't get me wrong, there would probably be an element of feeling bitter, but I feel like he's just making that bitterness very public, and it's not coming off super great. I don't know.
Someone needs to take the phone away from him is what needs to happen.
I think, because I mean, don't get me wrong, particularly what we learned in that report about, you know, what Dwayne Johnson was doing behind the scenes, some of what happened with Black Adam stuff. There's reason to be bitter there. But I think that like sort of handling it this way. Yeah, those TikToks are pretty, or those Instagram, whatever they are, those Instagram posts, they're something else. And boy, just a rough situation.
My favorite one, I think, was the one where he used the F word and then went on to argue that you should go this weekend to see his movie instead of John Wick Chapter 4 because it's a family movie.
Yeah, that was, I don't know. Yeah, again, it's just like, sure. I mean, and maybe also worth talking about is that Puss in Boots, The Last Wish just fell out of the top 10 for the first time this week after 14 weekends. And that's got to do with the fact that there were no family movies in theaters at all since that movie was released. So maybe Zachary Levi is not super wrong in that, like, there's a hole for family movies, but I don't know that Shazam Fury of the Gods was the movie to fill that hole.
Yeah. Let's be clear. We're not mocking it. You know, box office bomb like this is bad for everybody.
I'm not. I think it sucks, especially because the first Shazam was so good. You know, the first Shazam was really charming, and I thought this had breakout sequel written all over it. We talked a little bit about that last week, and I championed Warner Brothers for moving Shazam 2 away from Avatar 2. They were originally supposed to open the same day, and I thought that was insane. That was like crazy pill stuff. So, you know, I applaud Warner Brothers for at least trying to give this a slot to do its thing, but you know, audiences just did not show up, and you know, it's more of a commentary on what's going on with superhero films as a whole right now. And I think that's you know, that's the challenge. Where do we go from here?
Do you think if they had released it up against Avatar 2, that the narrative would be different?
Yeah, you could have blamed it on that. You know, like, cause then you would never know, right? You could always say, well, you know, it just got swallowed up by Shazam, you know, by Avatar.
Yeah.
It almost might've benefited them in high, but again, I don't think that's what they were thinking. I think they probably thought they had a, you know, more surefire thing, but yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I think that would have benefited the media narrative. It wouldn't have benefited their bottom line though, because it probably still would have made less than it made now. against Avatar 2, and ultimately you got to try to recoup as much money as you can. So,
okay, let's move on. Let's talk about Zack Snyder's next movie, Rebel Moon. It's getting a release, obviously, on, is it Netflix? I believe it's Netflix.
Right? Netflix. Zack Snyder partnered with Netflix for Army of the Dead, and that went really well. So he signed a first look deal with Netflix, I believe it was, to make a few films for them.
And this is something that I believe started out as a Star Wars movie that Zack Snyder pitched to Lucasfilm, and they didn't want to make it, so he developed it into his own thing. And this is coming to Netflix in two parts. And Ryan, you have an exclusive about this.
I do. So, yeah, and you are right. So what happened is, and I believe this was before the Lucasfilm purchase, the Disney purchased Lucasfilm. I think it was actually, the way I understand it is George Lucas actually kind of approached Snyder, and he had developed something to potentially turn into a film, and it just didn't go anywhere. But he turned that Star Wars pitch into an original thing. Speaking of John Wick Chapter 4, I actually had the chance to interview the whole sound team for the movie and talk to them about, you know, crafting the sound. And the re-recording mixer, Andy Kiyama, he is actually working on Rebel Moon. And I just happened to mention, like, hey, you're working on Rebel Moon. You know, what's going on with that? Where are you guys at with that? And he actually gave me something pretty interesting, which is, so if you didn't know, Rebel Moon is going to be split into two movies. When they got into making it, it became, you know, for like Zack Snyder, it's an ambitious thing. So...
But what, I was going to say, a Zack Snyder movie getting becoming bigger than it can fit into one movie and then
right
splitting into two parts? No way.
But so what's interesting here is that here's what Mr. Kiyama told me. We just did the tent mix for the first preview of part one, and it's very exciting. It's a big, huge space. They probably don't want me to say this. Star Warsy Rebels Against the Evil Empire thing over all sorts of different worlds. It's really fun. There's going to be two films. I think we're mixing that from June to February. And there's also going to be extended R-rated versions of each of the two films. So we're going to be mixing four different features. So what had not been revealed is that, yeah, they're going to do R-rated extended cuts for each one of the movies. So basically Netflix is going to end up getting, I don't want to quite say four movies because someone on Twitter was like, why don't they just release like the R-rated cut? I'm like, I don't know. If you look back to the home video era, director's cuts, extended cuts, unrated cuts, those were really common selling pieces for, you know, DVD and Blu-rays and stuff. So I don't think it's like, this is just essentially like old media, new media starting to model old media in some ways. Like this is kind of par for the course, but it's interesting because this isn't something that typically happens with Netflix releases.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think I've ever seen Netflix do this with an original of any kind, but I could be wrong.
No, but Snyder's fan base are the types of people that will watch this stuff, and they will watch both versions probably. And look, I mean, it's probably not a lot more work to take the extra footage and do a slightly larger R-rated cut. So, I mean, why not try to maximize your investment in that way?
Say what you will about Zack Snyder, but almost every one of his movies has an extended director's cut of some kind. And almost every single one of those is better than the theatrical cut.
Oh, so. Absolutely. And I think like Watchmen is a good example. Like the theatrical cut is, okay, this is me liking Watchmen an awful lot, but like I know people feel some kind of way about that movie. But like I think the theatrical cut is really good. But then I think like the extended cut is the best version of that movie. There's also like the 4-hour cut that's got like all the animated stuff in it. I think that one's good, but a little long. But yeah, point being, it's like, you know, that for the movies of Snyder's that you might like, it tends to work. So I get it, but it's interesting. It's an interesting strategy for a Netflix movie for sure.
Yeah. I've had friends who hated Batman versus Superman and saw the longer extended director's cut, and they were actually like, that wasn't bad. So
I don't want to talk about that. Let's not talk about that one right now.
Okay, fine.
Well, just because I think I got duped into watching that longer cut as someone who didn't like BVS, and then I just remember thinking like, it's the same damn movie. It's just longer. I don't know.
Okay. You know, we have more to talk about. We have Toxic Avenger. We have Fast X. But we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Okay, we're back. Let's talk about Toxic Avenger. This is something you wanted to talk about, Ryan. I know this isn't the story that you wrote up for the site, but are you a big Toxic Avenger fan?
I think it's a fun property. I think that like the old movie is like a very of its time, and I do think it's ripe for a modern reimagining. And it just so happens we're getting a modern reimagining of this movie.
Yeah, and we should say the original film was like this very micro budget independent film by Lloyd Kaufman.
Yeah, it's a trauma film. It's a 1984 horror comedy with the no budget, and you know, but it did turn into a franchise, to be fair.
Yeah, it was one of those like weird, like I don't think it would happen today, where it was like the original film was very R-rated, very gross out, very, and then all of a sudden it became like an animated TV show for kids with action figures and stuff. Oh no, it was weird. I don't think that would happen.
But that was
today.
Par for the course in the 80s though, because there was like a Rambo cartoon, and like that was, you know, just because you had an R-rated property didn't preclude you from having an animated show for kids.
Okay, so tell us about this, Ryan. The remake, I guess, is going to include one of the infamous scenes.
Yeah, so what happened is, so again, in that same interview with the John Wick Chapter 4 sound team, so the Toxic Avenger reboot filmed already. It's got like Peter Dinklage is starring in it, and Jacob Tremblay, Elijah Wood. It's got a really interesting cast, and Megan Blair, who directed I Don't Feel at Home in This World Anymore, is directing it. Don't know a lot about it. But so I asked Casey Ginton, who is one of the re-recording engineers on the film, is working on the remake. And I was just like, oh, cool, you worked on the Toxic Avenger remake. Can you tell me anything about it? And Peter, you might know, as someone who's done a lot of these interviews, sometimes when you ask somebody something like that, they'll be like, I can't tell you anything about it. Very fortunately, Mr. Genton gave me a pretty cool answer. And so here's what he had to say about the reboot. It's a really fun movie. Macon Blair, the director, I think did a really good job with it. Everybody was a dream on the film. I'm so surprised. For me personally, I had not seen the original Toxic Avenger until I had done this film. And it's a huge cult classic. And I know people are really excited about it. When they have tested it, fans of the film have been over the moon with this film. It's pretty out there. I think it's a different crack. They're giving fans what they want for sure. There's no lack of, I know everybody references the little kid's head getting run over and stuff. I think that there was an iteration of the film that didn't have enough of that. So they made a very, I don't want to ruin it, but it has been nicknamed the butt guts scene. And it's probably the best way to match the head getting run over energy that everybody's looking for. So it's in line with the fan base. And I think it's hilarious. So yeah, some pretty interesting comments there that it doesn't sound like this is pulling any punches. And it seems like it's been testing very well with audiences. And yeah, sounds like it's going to be pretty brutal.
Butt guts. Okay. Well, the original, that head busting scene, I think was like a watermelon or something. Is that the one I'm thinking of?
Yeah.
There was one that ran over someone's head and they actually just used a watermelon. So
yeah,
it was like that kind of micro budget.
But it's also like it was a kid, right? So it was like a pretty like, but yeah. So this one, it sounds like they're going to try to recapture some of that, but with a bit more of a modern, but yeah, so I mean, I don't know. I sort of thought that was a pretty compelling pitch for that sort of thing. So I'm into it.
I'll tell you, some of the people that I like to talk to the most are like these people that like you got to interview. Whenever I was on the set of like a Marvel movie, they would always be very secretive of what they were like trying to reveal and tell you. The film journalists that were invited on set. Then you talk to like, you know, the costume designer or the prop department guy, you know, the head of the property department, and they would be like, oh, do you want to see Spider-Man's costume? Or do you know what I mean? It would be like, you would see like the unit publicist in the corner like, oh no. It's always
those are the best people. I especially because like it's just it's the insight they have into the filmmaking and the craft. Like you always learn such interesting stuff. Like I was talking to them about like all the headshots in John Wick, and they were like, oh yeah, no, we have to create a different headshot sound for each headshot because like it's all, and so they talked about like every one of those headshots and every one of those John Wick movies, you have to do like different stuff to create that headshot noise. And it's just fascinating.
You know, what's great about them is they haven't been given the media training in a way they give you real answers with real insight. And then you end up talking to the stars or whatever. And like, they're just prepared to give you the same 10 answers. That, you know what I mean? Like they have the 10 answers modeled. So like you'll ask a question and it'll end up being the answer to a question you didn't even ask. But I love the craftspeople that I don't want to say below the line. They're still above the line people, but the people that like, you know, do the sound design, the costuming, like the people that you don't that don't get as much credit for things. I think they're like so great to talk to. They give you so much insight.
Oh yeah, it's really great. And anytime you get a chance, if you're ever lucky enough to talk to people that make movies on any level, like, you know, a costume designer, a sound editor, a cinematographer, anybody, it's so worth doing.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about Fast 10 for a second. So Brie Larson is in is it Fast 10 or Fast X? Should I say Fast X?
I think it's Fast. No, I think because didn't Louis Leterrier, the director, didn't he say it's Fast 10 because like the joke is like fasten your seatbelts?
Well, they should have just went with that title, Ryan, is what I'm saying. But okay, so Brie Larson is in this movie because everybody's in this movie, and people have been speculating for some time of like, you know, what kind of character is she going to play. Many people thought she might be playing Brian's sister. But she is not. She is related to the family, but not through the O'Connors. She's related through If you don't want to hear this, then, you know, skip ahead or tune out. But she revealed this to Total Film Magazine. She is related to the family through Mr. Nobody. So Larson is playing Tess, the daughter of the mysterious government agent, Mr. Nobody, who is played by Kurt Russell in the films. And according to Larson, Tess is, quote, part of the agency, but she also goes rogue and edges more towards the family side. But that means she has a lot to prove, unquote. So, I mean, this isn't too surprising. But, you know, she's going to share a lot of scenes, I'm guessing, with Dom and the whole family. What do you think of this reveal of who she's playing in Fast 10?
I think that the only really significant thing here is that it takes the, you know, Brian's sister thing off the table, which I would have thought as well, but, you know, it's fine. It just sort of the whole Fast and Furious thing is family, right? So this sort of, you know, keeps it in the family. And look, I like Brie Larson a lot. She does that really friggin' sweet motorcycle trick in the trailer. And all I really care about is seeing Brie Larson in a leather jacket doing cool Fast and Furious stuff. So that works for me. And I like the idea of like Brie Larson being Kurt Russell's, you know, daughter. That's kind of fun. But yeah, like, look, I will see this movie because I will see any of these movies because they know what they are. They're a lot of fun. And having Brie Larson in there can only be a good thing.
Yeah. Also, Louis Leterrier describes Tess as Dom's guardian angel, which Larson elaborated on, saying when Dom gives her an impossible task, that's going to require a lot of thought and effort, and also is putting herself at risk. She doesn't question it. Yeah. Okay. Anyways, we've reached the end of today's Slash Film Daily. You can find more of all of our work at slashfilm.com. You can find this podcast on Apple, Google, Overcast, Spotify, all the popular podcast apps. Please send us your feedback, questions, comments, concerns to us at peter@slashfilm.com. And please rate and read this podcast on Apple Podcasts. Tell your friends, spread the word. We'll see you tomorrow.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.